Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 15, Text 4. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Satatatatra bruna palava shriya falapasu noru parena padeo strishash chikan viksha vinaspitam mudha smayam ivagre smayan ivahagre Jamadi Purusha. The primeval Lord saw that the stately trees with their beautiful reddish buds and their heavy burden of fruits and flowers were bending down to touch his feet with the tips of their branches. Thus he smiled gently and addressed his older brother. Om Gana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Taksur Unmulatam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vanshakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Si Advaita Gadadhar Srivasa De Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So greetings from New Jersey. I'm still hunkered down here, but I actually see that the world is starting to open up a little bit, at least temporarily. Beautiful day, the weather's beautiful. So there's starting to be a little bit competition for the Krishna Katha. But anyway, still quite a few people are attending, and we will certainly, I think this will be my schedule. When it opens up fully, maybe I'll move this class to Saturday morning. I'm not sure. I'll consult with people. So we're talking about Krishna's pastimes. And those of you who have read my last Monday morning greetings, I talked about spiritual autism. And I also had a discussion about spiritual prejudice. These are two terms that I've uniquely applied to. the problem of not understanding and approaching the pastimes properly and therefore misunderstanding it. It's a fact, just in any type of thing, that to understand things is takes not only our senses, it takes our mind. Because when we have impressions, the mind categorizes them based on our past impressions. What Buddhi does is before we react with that impulsive vision, It considers it on the basis of knowledge. That's just a fact anywhere. I mean, in any experience you have with people, you can see how they misunderstand various, they misunderstand various situations. So we have that in common way. How many people in partnerships have misunderstood, or have you been misunderstood? All the information was there, but the mind responded to it based on its past experiences and did not digest it through the intelligence. So that same factor is there with hearing Krishna's pastimes. And I came up for these terms for two reasons. Prejudice means you judge things. I explained this before, but it's a very subtle concept. If I explain it again, it's always helpful. Prejudice means you judge things not on the basis what it is, but on the basis of what you're perceiving belonging to a particular category that you made, generalizing on a previous experience. For example, race. You had an experience with a particular person of a race or ethnicity or nationality, and then you ascribe that quality not to the person alone, but to the nationality, ethnicity, or race that one belongs to. And therefore, when you perceive a person of that ethnicity, nationality, or race in the future, rather than judging them for what they are, you judge them according to the category in which they belong. And therefore, have a limited perception of who they are, or a perception that's completely wrong. Because obviously, particular groups may contain general categories. When I go to Russia and I want to know how to preach there, I ask the people, what are the Russians like? But that's not my only category in analyzing when I meet someone from that country. But I'm cognizant of it, that there's a general karma, or there may be, or may not be. But the basis thing, we judge a person individually, not the color of his skin, not the country he comes from, not his particular ethnicity. So the same thing applies to Krishna Lila. It's the boy-girl category, but we can't just judge them according to that category. We have to judge them individually for what they are. And in the spiritual world, those forms in that category is different than what we see here in the material world, because those categories and forms have to do with bhakti or pure love. The intensity of the relationship is there, but the consciousness is one of pure love. Krishnadas Kaviraj explains it as the difference between gold and iron. They're both metals, but the quality is so different. So it's both romance, it's both conjugal, but it's so much different in quality. And therefore, to really approach these pastimes in the proper way, to approach these pastimes in the proper way, we have to be without that prejudice. And we have to have an experience of what they're doing, not just externally, but internally. Therefore, people who understand these things are people who are devotees. I was just listening to a tape by Prabhupada where he was quoting when people were bringing these different manuscripts to We're bringing these different manuscripts to Swarup Damodar before they came to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Swarup Damodar would judge him, and then he made a thing that if you want to learn this, you have to learn it from a devotee. Because one that person has that experience, and therefore he can communicate what that experience is. If someone doesn't have that experience, he can only communicate what it is according to the limited frame of reference he has of what it is. And spiritual autism, although a few people, and I've spoken to people and researched it, they didn't exactly like that term, so I'll just describe it. But there is a type of autism. I guess there's a great spectrum of them, and people are pretty pretty rooted that there's a different spectrum of them, if that's the best word, is the ability not to relate the actions to the mind that produces them. And that's the same thing. If we don't have that experience, we don't hear it in the right way, we don't hear it from someone who has somewhat of that experience, we're not in line from Prabhupada and his teachings and the way he does that, then we'll see the forms but not understand the consciousness that produced them. And even if you look in your particular, like just meditate a little bit, how much you read minds during the day by what's on a person's face. And then meditate what it would be like without understanding that. And how that would affect your understanding of the circumstance and the person. So, in that context, I'm going to explain a little thing about this Krishna Leela. And what I'd like to do is with you discuss the mind, not just the actions. So maybe I'll just mention something and see what you see in the mind. Krishna's feet touch the ground of Vrindavan. So much is happening. Krishna's doing it with out of love for the earth. It's an intentional act, and not only an act that was done with attention, but an act that he had to do fighting with his parents who didn't want him to go out to the forest. So there's a history of that act of Krishna's feet touching the ground of Vrindavan. There's a history of how much Krishna wanted that. And how, and one little thing, just it just expands into a whole world. And then you have the parents and what is their consciousness wanting to prevent Krishna? What's in their minds? It's their love for him. And then that's how Krishna feels. That's how his parents feel. But how does the earth feel? Preserves Krishna's footprints, even when the cows go over those footprints. It preserves those footprints out of a marking, a consciousness. The footprints in the sand of Vrindavan indicate the consciousness of the earth. I belong to Krishna as much in a traditional Vedic culture type man-woman relationship. The woman puts on kumkum and a dot, and it indicates her chastity, her love, her sense of belonging to her husband. And where is Krishna walking? He's walking behind the cows. which is also an indication of Krishna's love, because the earth is being trampled and Krishna is pacifying the earth. And what's in Krishna's mind? This is Dharani. The earth is Dharani. The earth called me to come to serve my mission. And how does the earth serve the mission? The earth maintains. The earth maintains and sustains everything in my pastimes. And therefore, Krishna wears shoes. Well, what was his consciousness? I want to touch that earth. Ati punya. And what happens when Krishna touches that earth? There's an energy that's transferred of auspiciousness. So just how much consciousness, is in these simple things. Okay, we'll try another one. Hey, this is fun. Kind of like it. Krishna blows his flute. What is Krishna's consciousness? He is excited. Why is he excited? Because he desires to enjoy a particular intimate type of love, and by his will, an environment manifests to facilitate that love, which intentionally moves in love to please Krishna. And he's going to the forest of Vrindavan in excitement. And also when he blows his flute, it's not just expressing his personal excitement, but it's expressing his love. And what happens when you hear your name, your tune called? And not only that, this is the first day that Krishna goes. So how exciting is that for him? And he's Boganda and he's 6 years old and his body is matured, that now facilitates a greater variety of pastimes. And throughout this and throughout the whole Leela, there's a description. Gita Kirti, that the glories are being sung, by the cowherd boys. Later, the quality of their kirtan will be described. And what is that like? You're with the cows. There's no material inebrieties. There's no material anxieties. There's no material fatigue. There's no material thirst. There's nothing else you want to be and do but what you are at that moment. And how many of us can say that? And it's so ambrosial. And then they're singing. And what are they singing? They're singing. And there's, and how they're singing. Very heartfelt from the heart and the proper rags and very appropriate for the occasion. And these are great kirtaneers. These are not ordinary musicians. These are the greatest kirtaneers. So what is the, what does the sound of that kirtan? What is the sound of that kirtan? The kirtan of the cowherd boys. And so much more can be said about that. And then Krishna approaches the forest. And the first that he hears so many charming sounds. But they're not just sounds. They're kirtan. They're born from Baba. They have emotion. They have so much emotion behind them. And the wildly intoxicated bees, just they're buzzing. It just sounds so ambrosial. And the birds, like a symphony, and the birds have great voices. They don't just sing like one tune. They have different tunes and different ways of singing. And then when Krishna enters that forest, he looks out and touch each and everywhere. That whole forest is a splash of color as different trees, as Krishna's coming into the forest and different bushes, they begin to bloom in different various colors. So it's not just the trees near Krishna. Krishna looks out the whole thick forest. There are pious trees. Prabhupada said the modern trees are not pious because they don't give fruit and flowers. There's many trees where I'm living here, big trees. But wow, they don't give fruits and flowers, but they're just giving fruits and flowers. And it's just a splash of color. And you got to imagine the sounds, the deep sounds of the bees and the birds and the animals. And then the color and then the fragrance of those flowers. And then Krishna looks in the distance and every different in different places Krishna sees crystal clear lakes which soothe the mind. You know, they're starting to clean up some lakes in Vrindavan, and one Pavan Sarovar, the lake of purity. And when you go there, it's just so you can see the, you know, you can see deep into the water. The water is being purified. And it has such an effect on the mind. I describe that cleanliness and nature undisturbed is the vision of sight and the mode of goodness. It has a powerful effect on your consciousness. So Krishna feels it. He looks out and he looks out and he sees it. It's so beautiful. He sees it. It's so, and he sees the he sees the forest and how beautiful the forest is and those clear lakes. He wants to enter those lakes. Even though his mother told Balaram, don't let Krishna go swimming, he can drown. Balaram's such a good servant. If Krishna wants, he gets it. Cow goes, he gets it. Just leave Krishna to play. Just as Krishna wants to enter into those lakes, he wants to enter into the mind of a sadhu who is like that. Whose mind is calm and mind is clear. And then all the forest is offering love to Krishna through all the senses. And the wind is serving Krishna. So I hope you have this in your minds now as you're picturing this in your minds. And now Krishna is looking at all these flowers and birds and animals. Everywhere, everywhere there's fruits and flowers blossoming, and every fruit and flower will be accepted by Krishna by his unconceivable potency. And then what does that feel like? If the person who you love the most is pleased by your offering, What does that feel like? So you see, I'm trying to give this image that it's not just an ordinary visual. There's a tremendous consciousness behind it of the greatest love. So now the verse that we're there here today, and we'll do hopefully the two verses on the trees. Primeval Lord, reddish palava, their buds, beautiful, and their fruits with flowers. And Urabarena, it's a heavy burden. This is such an image. When you have opulences, it shouldn't make you proud. It should make you humble. Because when you see yourself clearly, it invokes humility. I say this so many times. Someone may be like a cleaning freak. They'll see any little dirt, and someone's sloppy, they don't see anything. So the person who's pure sees more faults than the person who's not. So the trees with their heavy urubrena, such lush fruits. Mango trees, where they produce mangoes that the skin is so thin that you can eat the skin. And the trees begin to bow down to Krishna. His patio, his feet. Spriya, touching them with the tips of their branches. Vanaspatim. And the Vanaspatim, patim means the king, Vanas, of the trees and flowers. These are the aristocratic tall trees. And they're bowing down to Krishna, but they're not just bowing down to Krishna. There's great devotees bow down to other devotees. So the trees are just bending in humility. The idea, again, as obeisances, as an item of padasevana, it's a consciousness. We are happy that I am subordinate. I am happy because this is my shelter. This is my superior. I am happy, but superior, not just in position, but in consciousness, in pure consciousness. And I bow down. I bow down to the devotees also. Bhakti means Krishna Nu Shilanam. Anukulyena Krishna Nu Shilanam. That's the primary characteristic of bhakti, explained by Rupa Goswami in the Upadeshamrita. Anukulyena Krishna Nu, we intend to follow the desires of Krishna. Anukulyena Krishna Nu Shilanam. We follow the desires of Krishna with Shilanam. With our body, mind, and words, positively and negatively. We try to please Krishna by not saying the wrong things, by not doing the wrong things, by not thinking the wrong things. And we try to please Krishna by thinking the right things and doing the right thing and saying the right things. Anushilanam. That's bhakti. It's bhakti, we try to follow Krishna. Vanaspatam. And that consciousness, the consciousness of the trees, we must be so sinful. It says, Krishna is going to the forest, we cannot follow him. And Krishna is thinking, how unfortunate these living entities are that they cannot move. So he sees so many living entities, but the trees, especially he sees the trees. And he sees the trees out of compassion and the expression of their humility. What attracts compassion is not just that one is low, but one expresses that. Especially attractive. Expresses that need. The expression of need serves like a magnet to the heart of a good person. The need may attract his welfare, his help, but the expression of humility makes it even more alluring. Even more alluring for Krishna. And he's just meditating on reciprocating with those trees. Get up real early. I forgot to take a nap. I should do that before the class. Hope I don't become brain dead. So what a beautiful scene. And Krishna, yayatam mam prapadyante, he reciprocates with love. That's what a person means. He reciprocates. As you offer, he reciprocates. Yat karoshi, yat asnasi, whatever you do, give to me. And I will accept it with love. But the trees have a special position among all the entities in the forest because we mentioned this last week that three of the four things that can be offered in devotion, besides water, a leaf, flower, and a fruit, are produced by trees. So they have a special position in Krishna's pastimes of service eternally. Eternally, they can serve Krishna in such a nice way. And these tall aristocratic trees with the burden of their opulence begins to bend towards Krishna's feet with the palavasya, the beautiful reddish buds. As they come to Krishna's feet, they humbly announce that the red color of your feet is so far superior to anything we can offer. We put that below you. We put that below you. And then Krishna smiles. And even though it's being offered to him, he deflects the praise to Balaram. Because that is really the symptom of a cultured person. A cultured person does not try to put himself in the middle. A cultured person is always ready to push others forward and glorify him. Just like when you go to a cultured person's home, they say, you know, this is your home. They deflect proprietorship, they deflect control, they deflect ego gratification. The whole process of bhakti is getting out of the consciousness that I'm the center and the world surrounds me. And that's why we actually hear those these pastimes, because if we can become attracted to Krishna and wanting to serve him, we solve the ego problem. Because the consciousness of service is antithetical to ego. But if you want to have the process of service, you have to fall in love. You have to be attracted to something. And therefore, God's beauty is there. His mercy is there to attract us. We have to come to this platform of being in love with Krishna. And it happens by hearing about Krishna and serving Krishna in so many ways. And that's the greatest treasure, because that's the treasure that can give us happiness. So now the next verse. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, Aho Ami Deva, Aho Ami Deva Varamara Chitam, Padam Bujam Te Sumana Falahanam, Namantyupadaya Sikabir Atmanas, Tamo Bhadyai, Arujan Mayat Kritam. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, this is him deflecting the praise. O greatest of lords, just see how these trees are bowing their heads at your lotus feet, which are worshipable by the immortal demigods. The trees are offering you their fruits and flowers to eradicate the dark ignorance that it caused their birth as trees. So this humility, the trees were thinking, what past offenses have I committed that now I am immovable and I cannot move with Krishna? Of course, great souls become trees. Beyond our perception, but they have a relationship with Krishna of offering things to Krishna. And they can live in that consciousness and event eternally with variety. So it's not that they have that consciousness, I'm so fallen that I can't, and Krishna's looking, that heart, that's the heart that Krishna looks at, the heart that Krishna loves. He loves the hearts of the trees. The trees are saying, I'm so fallen. I'm so fallen. I can't follow you into the forest. Please accept these offerings. I'm bowing down to your feet. I always remember that story. I don't know, and I'll repeat it again. When I was preaching in Tuaco, and Gail remembers, I think she was there, and of course Mahamuni and Raj Kishore and Ekachak and Sabha Priya was also there studying for some time, I see. The point skipped my mind. I'll try to get back into the groove. Talking about the humility of the trees and their offering. Coming to me, 1 second. Anyway, I can't remember that, but I'll tell two other stories of humility. That's okay, and I'll get back to it. We had so many wonderful Vaishnavas, and I remember we were giving our Gita course, and I had that revelation that the first time we see Krishna in our two main texts, which are the Gita and the Bhagavatam, is in the same place. So that's significant. And I never saw a commentator say that, maybe. But certainly it must be significant. And the significance is to show that personality is higher than position, because Krishna took a subordinate position. And the first time we see Krishna, who's specifically the nature of God, who's the supreme personality of Godhead, he's taking a position. And I remember I was highlighting that point, and I was really heavy about it. Not to highlight it, I was just saying how the driver is the lowest position in society. Think of India, the driver. And I kept on the driver, the driver, the driver. And I forgot that there was a taxi driver there from New York who was so sincere that he would drive his taxi. He would drive his taxi all night and come to the classes during the day. And I was saying, the driver is the lowest, the driver is the lowest, the driver is the lowest. And I looked over and he was going like this, yes, yes, yes. Rup Manohar, very humble soul. And then I remember there was this older Indian man who is sometimes difficult to relate cross-culturally. But he was loved, because we had so many young people. He was loved by all the young people. He was so transcendental, Krishna Mohan. And I was embarrassed. He wanted to take initiation from me. And then he came into my room one day and paid his obeisances and started to cry and beg for mercy. And then one of my disciples was there and said, now I understand the part in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, when Rupa Goswami begged Lord Chaitanya for shelter with a straw between his teeth, and the student said, now I understand what it means that your humility is breaking my heart. So the tree's humility were breaking Krishna's heart. I'm so fallen. And then the other story that I remember, this is actually, okay, now I remember what it was. I just mentioned Tuaco because two comedians, professional comedians from Chicago city limits, became devotees. One is Yadunath, and at that time he was with this lady called Denny. And they became devotees there. And then this person, Denny, she just couldn't follow the principles. She couldn't be a vegetarian. She's having so many struggles, but she would try, she would try, she would try. And then had a program at 26 Second Avenue. And imagine there's no bhakti center. Radhanath Swami is giving a class, how packed it was. And after the class, everyone wanted to see him and get his darshan. And then afterwards, he was walking out. And if you know 26 Second Avenue, as you walk out, there's a little indentation to the right, kind of. So she was hiding in the corner there. Radhanath Swami walked by. And then he's very calm and peaceful. And then he moved towards her. And she just broke down and she said, I'm so fallen, but I get so much solace I get so much solace in my heart that people like you are traveling the world and giving mercy. And later, up in the room, we used to have a place on 4th Street, Radhanath Swami told me how much that moved his heart. So the first thing that Krishna does when he goes in the forest, he notices humility. Humility attracted him the most. And the trees were the emblem of humility because they were feeling, I'm so fallen. I'm so fallen. I can't follow Krishna into the forest. I'm so covered with ignorance. But in bhakti, the low position is the high position because that's where mercy falls. There's a verse. I'm learning it something, but I'm going to read it. It's a great verse. Asamaho charana renu jasamaham syam vrindabhane kimapi gumalatau shadinam yadustya jam svajanamarya patam chahitva bejur mukunda paravim shrutibir vimjimyam. The gopis of Vrindavan have given up the association of their husbands, sons, and other family members who were very difficult to give up, and they have forsaken the path of chastity to take shelter of the lotus feet of Mukunda Krishna, which one should search for by Vedic knowledge. Oh, let me be fortunate enough to be one of the bushes, creepers, or herbs in Vrindavan, because the gopis trample them and bless them with the dust of their lotus feet. And that's from Uddhava, the topmost devotee. So just think of that dust. The low position attracts the dust. So the trees, which are vanaspatim, Vanas, of all the other plants and all the other trees, these are Vanaspatim. These are the kings of the trees. They're going for the ground. Lord Brahma. Is it Lord Brahma? Anyway. This is Uddhava. And to be the dust, he's not thinking a low position. He's thinking the best position. Because I can attract mercy. And mercy is the love from above. And there's nothing sweeter than the experience of mercy from someone who is the abode of mercy. So again, the same theme, there's consciousness here in everything. There's Krishna, he has his consciousness. I'm attracted to these souls. And what is he attracted to? He's not attracted to the trees and the fruits and the flowers that are bowing to his feet. He's attracted to the consciousness they have in offering them and the humility in which they are doing so. And how great are these trees? They're doing what Vamavara Amara by those who are immortal. Those who are immortal. And who's immortal? The demigods, the great devotees. The trees are doing what the great devotees do. So here's the challenge. Will we do what the trees do? And therefore, actually great souls. It's not just that they're thinking we're fallen, but actually it's great souls that want that position. So, O greatest of the lords, Krishna is speaking to Balaram, Devavara, older brother, Devavara, excellent God, excellent, excellent superior. Oh, just see how these trees are bowing their heads at your lotus feet, which are worshipable by the Amara, the demigods. The trees are offering the fruits and flowers to eradicate the dark ignorance that has caused their birth as trees. So generally, it's the trees are in ignorance. And they stand in one place and they live a long time and they suffer. They suffer all the elements, they suffer. But these trees, and to eradicate the dark ignorance. Those in ignorance, for the purpose of destroying ignorance, they're offering service to destroy ignorance. But what they're showing is actually what it means is Atmana Tama, this ignorance. What actually it means is we're doing this to destroy the ignorance of others, because we're showing them how one does that. And oho, Ami, how wonderful it is that these trees, Ami, it doesn't mention trees, it says Ami, these. And why you mention these, you don't have to say the name when they're very close. So where are the trees? They're on Krishna's feet. And as they're on Krishna's feet, Krishna's picking the fruits. So I think that's the main thing I was trying to communicate today. Consciousness, not just external thing. We discussed that this morning in the story of Murari, where he takes the position of Garuda as the great servant, and Lord Chaitanya manifests four hands as Narayan. And from an external viewpoint, you can't figure it out. But the great devotees there were in ecstasy. And why were they in ecstasy? Because they understood it's a manifestation of the highest consciousness that Murari is Hanuman. He's the greatest devotee. And therefore, when there is opportunity to serve, he manifests a form to do so. So Lord Chaitanya came in the mood of Narayan because he's God and all the incarnations are in him. And he manifests as God. And then Murari said, I am Garuda. And they're running around the courtyard. And Lord Chaitanya is like swinging back and forth, and the devotees are in ecstasy. Because they're not seeing some crazy people. They're seeing a manifestation of love, and they're seeing that exchange. There's three things that are important. There's God, the devotees, and that loving exchange. And they're seeing that. Okay, I'm going to stop for today. I generally stop when God tells me to stop. Would anyone like to share something from today's class?
Haribol Maharaj.
Munajaya, Haribol.
Haribol. Thank you for the wonderful class. So many wonderful points, but I particularly loved when you said today that Balaram gets it. And I think that, you know, we always speak about Balaram being the first guru. And what does the first guru do? He's showing us, let me do all this for Krishna so Krishna can just enjoy. So I really appreciated that point so much. That's really his teaching to us.
Wow, yeah. Balaram is the saboteur Godhead. He manifests, he's equal to Krishna, just different in color. And he serves Krishna in all affairs of existence and knowledge. A good example of that is Puri. Because Lord Chaitanya goes to Puri, Nityananda doesn't stay. He goes out and preaches. He does the mission as Lord Chaitanya does there. He also doesn't stay because he's in the mood of the brother. And Lord Chaitanya wants to cultivate the mood of Radha. And the girlfriend never wants the brother around. So she doesn't, she's in the mood. Lord Chaitanya's in the mood of the mood of Radha. So it's very interesting in Puri, the associates adopt a mood of service. Because Radha also appears in Puri, and Radha appears as Gadadhar. But she doesn't appear at all in the mood of Radha, although all the associates in Gaur Lila adopt the mood of their spiritual form in Krishna Lila. Except Radha. Complete different mood. And the reason is why. Because if she adopted the mood of Radha, then Lord Chaitanya would have to stay in the mood of Krishna. So she goes so that Lord Chaitanya can fulfill his mission to get the mood of Radha. But to help Lord Chaitanya and to serve Lord Chaitanya get the mood of Radha, and this is such a simple point, he adopted the opposite mood. He adopted the not the strong mood of Radha, but the very submissive, humble, shy type personality as Gadadhar. But every day in Tota Gopinath, he taught the Bhagavatam. That was Radha's service to Krishna in Jagannath Puri, because Krishna in the mood of Chaitanya wanted a mood of Radha so that she was focused. This is his desire. How can I fulfill that desire? Well, it's not being in the mood of Radha. That's not going to help Lord Chaitanya be in the mood of Radha. It's going to make him be in the mood of Krishna. No, I will completely be bereft of that mood. But I'll assist in his desire by teaching the Bhagavatam. And same thing with Lord Nityananda. I'm the brother. If the brother's around, the girlfriend never expresses her love fully. And that's what Lord Chaitanya wants. I want this mood. I want to experience the mood of my topmost devotee at the height of her love. So he says, well, I'm going to go preach because I'll do the work and you enjoy. Okay, well, thank you for that, Jaya. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Bo.
Hare Bo. I just wanted to say, I really love this whole series, like this whole, all of the classes on this pastime and all that you've said about Krishna's feet and the earth and the trees. And it just, I don't know, it's just so, it just melts your heart. So I really appreciate the whole series.
That inspires me. And especially at the beginning, I really liked what we were doing. We were just taking small things.
Yeah.
Like the earth and the feet and analyzing how much consciousness there was in different ways, what the thoughts were. And that was our initial premise, that if you want to understand these pastimes, you have to understand the thoughts behind them.
And like why every detail, nothing is insignificant.
There's so much in it. There's so much in it. Well, thank you, Jai Kishori. Anybody else?
Well, I really like the concept of love being the antidote for the false ego. It's such a much more appealing or attractive way of trying to combat the false ego, a much more appealing sense of surrender.
Yeah. So, and Gail, I hope that Radha Charan is listening because he's heard your voice for so many years and he always wanted to see who the person is. Thank you. Okay. Yeah.
They don't want to be
right. That's it. That's what bhakti is. That's the antidote to the false ego. But the thing is, which I don't know if you like this next sentence, love is the greatest surrender.
Love is the greatest surrender?
Think about it. Because what love
yeah,
means...
Yeah, I love that.
Okay, great. Okay, thank you, Gail.
Because it means you putting somebody else's desire ahead of your own, as okay, you always great. Say.
Okay, well, that's what it means. Thank you. Okay, anybody else? Gail, one more time, should I show you the picture?
Please don't.
Okay. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Yes. Good morning, Maharaj. This is Isabel.
Isabel, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So, thank you for today. We're actually taking a long drive from New Jersey down to Maryland, and enjoyed your story for the whole hour. And the whole time we were driving, up until you just finished, we were surrounded by trees on both sides. So the story wow. and the scene outside the car was perfect. And as soon as you stopped, the city just started.
Oh, okay.
It was like almost right on time. Thank wow. you.
Wow. Great.
We were surrounded all trees all over. Beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Isabel. So nice. Thank you for coming on. I appreciate it. Okay.
Thank you.
Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Bol Maharaj, it's Lisa. It's a little windy, I'm outside, so I hope that's okay, but I loved the point that you made that the lowest is the highest in bhakti, and that if we want to, the false ego wants to become some great personality, but if we really want to become a great personality, then we have to take it upon ourselves to actually become humble. And then when you're humble, you don't care if you're a great personality or not.
Right. But you just have to, watch out, because the sixth symptom of anishtha bhakti is bhakti itself. Because when you take that position and you get bhakti, then people will follow you.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you get absorbed in that, you ruin the whole thing. It actually breaks the bhakti.
Yeah.
But I thought the example is too of the trees of Anuspatim. They're the lords, and they're so stately, and that they bow down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I also thought that point was just kind of fundamental to our theology and considering Krishna as supreme, because the reason he's the highest is because he is, like, in a sense, the most simple and the most, what people might consider, I wouldn't say low, but in a sense, like, the most intimate and the most simple, that's why we consider him the highest.
Actually, that point is made in the verses, because Krishna's called Bhagavan, and the commentators say that Bhagavan just doesn't mean one with all opulence. It means Madhurya Ras.
Mm.
One who actually can relish the sweetest, most intimate love. I was reading that commentary, so yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Oh, Liz, Ladini Radha loved your editing. She wrote me back of her thing.
Yeah. Let's talk about it more.
Yeah, she really liked it. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj.
Okay. First, Lucy, and then... And then Namrasaki. Missy, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, nice to speak with you again. I love, there's so much to love from this talk. I loved humility as a consciousness. I've never thought about it in that light. And then your story of the devotee, and now I know what it means that when humility can break your heart, because there are people right here on this phone call right now whose humility has broken our hearts, who've just served with so much love. So yeah, I love everything about this lecture and I really appreciate it.
Wow, thank you, Missy. This morning of course, we have different groups. We were talking about this point of we should meditate what melts our hearts. And we should act that way towards Guru and Krishna. We should meditate who are the people and who are the people that actually melt our hearts and make them open to give our love and wanting to serve. And that's the consciousness we have to have with Guru and Krishna. So there was a point this morning we made the same thing. Okay, thank you, Missy. Okay, Narmasaki?
I just want to thank you for the great class, Guru Maharaj. It was just like a sweet lullaby. You know, it's night in here now. And I'm going to go to sleep with all you said in the class.
Wow.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Narmasaki. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Great. Great. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Thank you so much for the class.
Wow. You guys are online classes all day. That's so great. It's so... Listen, at what point did you like?
I loved the points that you mentioned about humility and being humble. And I'm thinking like practical senses, how I can apply them in my life. And I mean, towards my parents and other relationships I have. And then develop it towards my guru, my guru Devan Krishna, as you said.
Yeah, if you can learn these lessons, then you'll get real bhakti. Mm. Then your heart will actually be satisfied.
Mm. So true. Thank you,
Mark.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, anybody else?
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj, Lal Govinda.
Ambrosia.
Yeah.
Really enjoy those meditations.
Yeah. Right at the beginning.
Yeah.
I really liked that beginning. We discussing those things. It was so much fun.
Krishna blowing his flute.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Very well.
Very well.
Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. This is Kishori Radha.
Oh. Gopinath and...
Okay. Okay, great. Wow. It's so nice that we've increased our Krishna Katha, isn't it?
Yes.
Great. Okay, anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Sri Gandharvika.
Thank you, Hare Bo. Great.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. This is Yamuna Bihari. Just wanted to say hello and appreciate the class. Beautiful.
Okay, thank you.
I love how you always suggest a Vrindavan. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Yamuna. Hare Bo. Good. A few more people just want to say hello.
Hare Bo, Marins. This is Bhakti Jack.
Hey, Jack, we should just touch base sometime in the next week. Just send me a line, you know? You can just...
Okay, sounds great.
Okay?
Okay. Will do.
Okay, thanks. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj.
Krishna Prey. Wow.
Yes.
You're up so late at night.
Yeah, because I want to be at your class. Yeah, I like the point that you said Krishna is attracted to the consciousness of the trees, but not the fruits or the flowers offered by the tree. In other words, we have to go deep internally, not for the external manifestation.
Yeah, very good. It's not the paraphernalia, it's how it's offered.
Yes.
Tell your husband that...
It's okay, but I'm sorry, it's late and he always goes...
No, I know he wasn't on this class just yet, but tell him he missed the appearance of Gail, okay?
Oh, yes, yeah, I remember.
He's heard her voice for years listening to my tapes.
Yes, okay? Yes, I will let him know.
Okay, thank you so much for coming on. It's great.
Okay.
This is great that you can regularly hear the classes. That's great.
Thank you very much.
Okay, Hare Bol.
Hare Krishna.
Okay. Anybody else? Okay, we can go. Anybody still around? And on Wednesday, we'll continue the classes. It's so nice to see everybody here. Wow. Okay, thank you. Very well.